Excuse me, the recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a monthly NCSG policy call on Tuesday, 24th of April, 2018 at 1200 UTC. On the call today, we have Manuela Peralta, Rafik Damak, Shia Rahman, Aidan Ferdelin, Tomlinson Samana, Asin Tungali, Caleb Ogundele, Akriti Bopama, Claudio Lucina, Nelson Imwa Kaonda, and from staff we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafik.
Hey, thanks, Mariam, and thanks for everyone for joining today's call. So, just as a reminder, so we have this monthly policy call, usually before the GNSO Council call. In the way that we prepare for that call using that agenda, and it's also an opportunity for the members to discuss and to hear from NCIG counselor. So we will start as usual with the council agenda. It's quite crowded with several items, and then we will go more to a general policy discussion and getting update. Okay, so as you may see, the agenda is quite long. Usually we start with administrative matters. I don't think we need to care about that, just those kind of confirmation like the minutes and so on. And then what we have is maybe just to pay attention to the consent agenda. There are two motions, one motion and one update. So the first motion is about adopting the GNSO Council response to the GAP communique. What happened before is that we usually, the GNSO Council sent the response regarding the GAP communique. Last time it was in San Juan, Puerto Rico meeting. And we try from the council side to give our perspective and opinion regarding the GAP communique, and we try to deliver that as soon as possible, just before the board and GAP call. So what happened, we get the response, and it was adopted in the mailing list, but this wasn't just kind of tool of formalization of the GNSO Council response. The second item, it's to that the council to confirm that he it agrees with the sorry, the interpretation from ICANN-ORG regarding the community GTID change request process, public comment. And to confirm that it's a matter of implementation and not an issue or matter of policy. So we that topic was brought in last August, and it was decided just to have a public community to request input, public comment, sorry, to request input from the community regarding that change. And the report coming from staff confirming that most of, I'd say, the different group from ICANN community sees that as just an implementation. And from here, from the council standpoint, we are confirming that we agree with that. So if we have any issue or concern, we can ask to remove that from the consent agenda and put it again in the main agenda. However, I don't think we have any particular problem, and even ourselves, we didn't comment on the issue during the public comment. So I think those topics are fine. Okay, so going now more to the, I'll say, the substantive part of the agenda. Sorry. So the first motion to vote, it's not about policy, but it's a remembrance motion for Stefan Van Gelder, who was a counselor and the GNSO chair between 2010 and 2012. So he passed away last month, and the council is here just making this motion as to remember what he did and his achievement as a member of the ICANN community. So that's the least what we can do at the council level, and just here we kind of formalize our message that was sent to his family. So don't think this is kind of a matter really for discussion, but it's a good opportunity to recall that the work done in ICANN for policy discussion and so on is done by volunteers who are at the end human beings, and it's kind of sad to see when someone pass away, in particular in accident and so on. So this way we have this motion. Okay, I guess we can move to the next agenda item. Sorry. I have a hard problem to use WebEx. So basically, we don't have really any other substantive motion to vote. And the next agenda item is regarding update from the CCWG accountability work stream 2. And regarding the delivery of final report. So currently there is ongoing public comment on the final report from the accountability working group. They are not asking for, the substance of the report. I mean, they are asking if we comment, if we find any consistency between the different recommendations, since they were done by different subgroups to cover different topics. And from NCAC side, we covered most of the recommendation of those subgroups. And with regard to this current public comment, we are basically going just to focus if there is any issue or some overlap and so on, but not really commenting on the, I'd say, we are not going to ask for a substantial change in the recommendation. And so we are getting here an update. We are going to get an update during the council call from one of the co-chairs of the working group to explain about the timeline till June, when the working group is supposed to finish and end. And probably also talking about the implementation. So it's quite, it's quite important that we work on the recommendation, spend time on that, but then it comes the time of implementation, and that's usually done by the ICANN organization or staff, and the discussion will that happen in the working group is how we can oversee the implementation and ensure that what will be proposed as plan, it's aligned with the recommendation that were approved by the community and through the charting organization. So as the GNSO is one of the charting organizations, we are getting here an update, and probably just to give heads up, to get a heads up and to prepare for the time of approval. Okay. So I was speaking for some time now. It's good time if you have any comment or question, or if you want any clarification regarding this agenda item. Sorry. Okay. I don't see anyone in the queue, but just maybe I know not it's not everybody is familiar with WebEx. If you want to be in the queue, you can just click on the hand that it's near to your name in the right side. So if you want to be in the queue, just click there, and I can see you. So, any comment, question? Okay. Don't see any. So, okay, let's move to the next agenda item. The next is also an update regarding the, intergovernmental organization and the NGO access to curative rights protection mechanism. So this is, one of the kind of longest working group. It was, started like 4 or 5 years ago. And it comes as kind of a response to what was raised as concerns from the GAG regarding how they can protect, they don't have trademark, but how they can protect their names on domain name and domain name and provide them an easier access on that matter. So this working group was there for a long time. And what we are going to get here is more an update about the discussion, and in particular when they can deliver the recommendation. But why it's phrased now here is that there was kind of an issue in the working group raised by one member that he used an appeal process that is in the operating procedures of the GNSO, and so we had, and here talking like the GNSO council leadership and also the liaison to work on that matter and to respond to that appeal. And so from there we had also to follow up regarding the discussion in the working group regarding the recommendation, because the whole issue started when this working group, the members of the working group were discussing the final recommendation, and there was a disagreement in how to decide or to decide about consensus. So the council will get an update here to explain about the background and the issue that has happened now for the last 4 or 5 months, and to give that heads up to the council, but also on the other hand to prepare when we will get a recommendation from that working group. Now it's unclear what they will agree on, since they have different options and doesn't seem they are have a consensus. My understanding, the few members that are still participating, they are pushing for one direction, and this is maybe also can rise some problems even outside that working group. So for now, we are going to get updates and see how the council, as it's it is the policy manager, should act on this matter. In fact, we are talking here about the recommendation, not about the appeal process, because that's now it's done. So I hope I give some clarification. So, even for councillors, they are just getting this information now, and they will have much more more details during the call. So if there is any question or clarification, we'll be happy to answer. And please, if you are not speaking, please mute yourself because we have some background noise and also it can create some echo for others. So please. Okay. Sorry, guys. So any question or a comment or a clarification? Oh, I see it's Kathy. Yes, Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Just joining the call. Apologies to be late. Rafiq, there's kind of a larger question here. I haven't followed this one through all the details, but the larger question is, can one person hold up a working group or stop the work of so many years? As a current PDP working group co-chair, I'm really concerned about that. And so kind of to all our counselors, you know, what does this mean for other working groups? And, you know, because it changes our ability to say no if you have kind of an outlier on any side, an outlier who keeps pushing their views, and the person who brought this appeal definitely is one of those people, and he's in many working groups. You know, what are we supposed to do if we can't give him what he wants? And, or it wouldn't be fair to do it, or it would require too many resources to do it. You know, what's the larger message coming from this of, for our ability to run a PDP and make hard compromises? Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. That's good, really good question because, I mean, talking from the leadership side, when this issue happened, we were really thinking it's not just about that working group, but all what does it mean in terms of PDP in general. So, one, maybe it's the in terms of context, that working group, as it's really like, I think it's for 4 years, which is quite already too long. And when things get so long to get done, what happened, you have fewer people that continue to be involved. And this is one of the issues. So you get fewer people. So how even you can say that you are going to get consensus, how you will decide that? And also one problem in when you have how why that member can kind of, let's say, created this slowed the progress of the working group is that his appeal, that 3.7 for IR, I advise everyone to check it. I think it's not sure if it's in the working group guidelines or not, but maybe in that part. So you can find it in the operating procedure anywhere. He was appealing against the two co-chairs, and so that's put in strange situation when they were talking about how to decide the consensus, and he was disagreeing with the approach they wanted to take. So, yeah, it happens that someone that he's using the procedure, and we find out maybe the what we have as a procedure is not enough clear already. And it's also raised the question how we, the GNSO Council, can act in this situation. So, I don't have a clear answer here because it maybe that particular case of that working group, it was for too long, you have fewer people involved. And so even as you said, an outlier, he can have much more weight and influence than compared to other working group. And in fact, this working group or what they are pushing in that working group, I think, Kathy, it can influence your your own working group, the RPM1, because what they are saying that we cannot respond. That's my understanding, that we cannot. They think that the recommendation that the issue should be handled by the RPM. So this is even rise another problem. How we can what the council should do with this recommendation, and if the RPM working group can really handle that, you have already so many issues to cover. So it is kind of there are several facets or aspects of this problem, and at least what we can say is the council is acknowledging that we have to do better in terms of managing the PDP, and so what the council should do here. do we have our is our existing procedure enough? Should we improve? Should we add more procedure? What we should do here? So there are so many questions, and honestly, I don't have answer yet to that. But at least we are acknowledging that there are issues, and we have to act more earlier and to do a better job in terms of managing the PDPs.
Rafiq, this is Kathy. Can I respond?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, the GNSO is the manager of the process, and that's very important. First, I hadn't realized that anything was going to that any of this IGO, INGO issue was there was a thought of putting it in the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group. Please don't do that. We've got enough. So that wouldn't be good. We don't have the expertise in this kind of area. But it's interesting, the IGO-INGO working group, it did go on for 4 years, but it took a one-year break. And so it's really 3 years, which puts it about right. And that one-year break was to get a paper written by a scholar who to really explore the working group, and I was part of it initially. So the working group wanted to know whether some of the assertions of immunity were accurate. The IGOs and INGOs were saying they couldn't go to court. And the answer turns out to be it depends, that often they do go to court to enforce other rights, and they sign all sorts of regular contracts with Microsoft, with others, with Adobe. They sign all sorts of contracts with all sorts of language that says, you know, if you're going to challenge this contract, it'll be in Seattle or Delaware or something like that. And so the scholar came back, so it was worth waiting. So there's a lot of expertise in that working group, and the idea that we're not going to use it is kind of disturbing. But please don't send any of this into the RPM working group. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Just to clarify, this is one of their ideas. What we are trying to do is to, one option, I think, is that we'll ask them to list all the, what the different options they have and just say what's the level of consensus around them. And my understanding that there are like six options, and this is one of them. And at the end, if they send the recommendation to the council, then we will have to figure out. It will be the GNSO council task to decide here, and it's not anymore the working group. So we have members of the working group pushing for that direction, but it's not really up to them to decide what the RPM working group should do or not. But yeah, we are taking this into consideration. Just now, we have to brief all counselor. I mean in general, not just NCH, about this. And we have to be ready. So we are also trying to get this working group to finish and to deliver. They took so much time, and they have to make a decision at the end. Even if they disagree, at least they can list the different option, and they put the different level of consensus, and we will see what will happen then.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea to get them to report back at least on something. That makes sense. Just a quick note that one of the two co-chairs of the IGO-INGO, as you know, is one of the two co-chairs of the RPM working group. So to the extent that some of this is personal, that might continue if any of this got sent to the RPM working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. I can say he's really aware. He's not really supportive that this go to RPM, so that's what I can say.
Great. Good okay. To hear. And good luck. This is a tough one. Good luck with this one.
Okay. Any other question or comment on this? Okay. So anyway, we will get, I think, like briefing from the liaison here. The liaison to the working group, and And so we will, I think the discussion to get an update and maybe think about what we should take as action and how we should prepare. At the end, this working group should end, should reach closure soon, should not stay forever. Okay, let's move to the next agenda item. I think this maybe we'll get much more comment. So the next one is regarding update on the ICANN board temporary policy proposal. So for now, it's put as a placeholder because there are so many moving parts. As a context, the GNSO Council leadership had a call with the RDS working group leadership and several board members. They wanted to discuss with us, and it's clearly about the impact of GDPR on the RDS working group. And so the board was supposed to deliver different options regarding how to deal with that, but at the end they just focused on one option, is to have a temporary policy that, as its name says, temporary. But having that, we need to work within 1 year on a consensus policy. One thing is the temporary policy is something that we was never tried before, and so we don't know also how to deal when we have such case, how we can create a consensus policy, I mean a PDP, in such short time. So based on this issue, we kind of, the situation at the council level is how we will, what we need to do. We don't know yet if the board is going anyway to have a temporary policy or not. So this is what's suggested, that was discussed, that was presented by the board, kind of we're trying to explore the impact and the different path, but it's not decided yet if the board will vote or will approve a temporary policy. But in the same time, we should do some preparatory work if needed and to explore what are the options. So a usual PDP cannot be really the answer because it usually takes so much time, long time. So creating a new PDP won't be a good option. Another one is to have an expedited PDP, which is by design shorter because it's supposed to be a narrow scope. Another option is to kind of reuse the existing RDS working group in the way that maybe to ask them to work on that, but this also needs probably amendment in the charter and so on. So one reminder is the RDS working group is a board initiated working group. So we have all those kind of options, but we don't know how much it will take and if they are really the right path to use or not. And with regard to the RDS working group, since all this issue regarding GDPR and people, the attention is on that matter, they also decided to suspend their work for now. So we have the RDS working group and kind of it's in limbo. And also we don't know if the board will go with temporary policy, and if go with that, path we should follow. So this is kind of really trying to summarize. There was a briefing from that call with the board with some details. We have more question than answer, in fact, because even if we go, like let's say, with the expedited PDP, there is some work that needs to be done, like regarding the scoping and so on, so to follow that process. So we are in kind of in chartered territory because we have those procedure and process, but we never use them. And so the temporary policy having that one year constraint, it's pushing and it will create kind of either an incentive, and probably can be an incentive either to work quickly or for some people to try to slow. So we have all this kind of said moving parts, and it's unclear for now what we should do. Okay. So let's see who is in the queue. Any comment or question? I don't see any, but I guess there was... Okay, Aiden, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Hi, everyone. Aiden Sutherland. This is just a really basic question, actually. And I just want to make sure that I understand. So it is 1 year, it would be if we went down this route of the expedited policy development process to develop a temporary policy, it would be one calendar year to develop the policy, and then implementation would happen. And how long would that be for implementation, or would ICANN.org be sort of tracking the work of the expedited PDP and developing the implementation mechanisms alongside it? Thanks.
Thanks, Aiden. Yeah, I think my understanding is 1 year to develop the consensus policy. Oh, the implementation, I don't recall we went to that area yet, because even to develop the policy, it's unclear if we can do it within 1 year or not, because based on the previous experience of what we have already and other working group for other PDP, including the RDS itself. So we didn't try to recall it, but I don't think we discussed implementation. But this is a question that we have to put at the end, because even if we have this temporary policy, I think after that the contracted party, they don't have to apply that. So it's really you have that time limit, and so we can have situation that, okay, even if we get consensus policy, how much we take to be implemented and so on. But I think at the end of the day, there is incentive, because that deadline or time constraint, it creates huge incentive, in particular even for ICANN organization to or staff to work on implementation plan quite quickly, compare it what we have now. Okay, I see Stephanie. Yes, please go ahead. Stephanie, can you speak? I can hear someone typing. Maybe it's Stephanie. Can you just
hello?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. I'm unmuted. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think this is a really difficult problem that we have to solve here, as you have described. My recommendation, I mean, I just fired this off to Chuck when I rejoined the PDP working group, is that we almost need the kind of structure that we had in having where the constituent stakeholder groups recommend people to join this and we streamline it. Because quite frankly, there will be absolutely no point in continuing a process like the current PDP. And I think the part that totally irritates me on that PDP is there's a whole pile of complete strangers who don't belong to any stakeholder group who are slowing things down. You know, even the business community would not endorse some of these guys, and that's the only community they could join. So the fact that we have been totally stopped by a bunch of people with no skin in the game, right, except their business model, is a bit frustrating. And I don't see us reaching a conclusion unless we find a way to, I don't like to use the word eliminate them, but at least contain them. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. So let's be clear here. Is that if whatever we will follow, let's say expedite PDP, we have the flexibility with our procedure to not use a working group model. So it can be task force, drafting team, and so on. And so let's say kind of some discussion that if we go that path, so maybe I'm not sure what will be the final kind of structure, but that one option maybe is like what happened in the CCWG is to have a representative from the different stakeholder group to be in that structure. I'm talking here, it's not working group, but can be drafting team or task force and so on. And our procedure allow us to choose something. And this is one of, I think, the topic for discussion. So I think there is an acknowledgement.
Hi, all. This is Kathy. Did we lose Rafiq a few minutes ago?
Kathy, this is Aiden. I think we did lose Rafiq.
Okay, thanks for the confirmation. Hey, I'm no longer online. I'll just be on audio only, but I will hang around in hopes that he returns.
Murphy, can you hear me? My apologies, I was talking on mute. I replied to you. I responded to you, Kathy. We have lost Rafiq, and we'll try to get him back in the call. Thank you for your patience.
Thanks for letting us know what's happening. WebEx, we're having fun.
Hey, can you hear me? No? Okay.
Yes, we can hear you, Rafiq. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks. I'm not sure what happened. Anyway, so, Stephanie, I'm not sure if you spoke after my comments, but I hope that, that answered your question. I'm not sure if we still have some problems or not. Okay, I'm not sure. We have some technical issue now.
Perfect, we can hear you.
Okay, so because, nobody was responding, so I was wondering. Okay, so any other comment or question here? Okay. So just to answer quickly, Stephanie, I think for accreditation model, it's for later on. I'm not sure when you say by 11, what does it mean, but I think this is much later, not now. But yes, it's in our agenda to discuss. Okay. If there is no further question or comment, we can move to the next agenda item. So the next one, it's also this is more a discussion with regard to the review of inter-registrar transfer policy. So this is an existing policy, and okay. So here is more to get an update. I think this is about the review, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I don't have much more detail than you guys on this matter. We are going to get an update on this matter anyway. And so one of the issue with this one is that it's not an issue. It's that we have to review policy after some time from the implementation. And I think in terms of policy reviews, something that we didn't do before, and it's something new. So we are kind of getting used within the council and how to handle this. And this is one of the first instance with regard to policy. So we will get more updates here, and we will share the information that we will get from staff. So they have they worked on the report regarding the implementation. Okay. Any question or comment? And just to respond again to Stephanie, so we will discuss about the accreditation model in a few minutes. So please wait a little bit.
Rapid, this is Kathy. I'm on audio only now.
Yes, please.
Okay, so we're talking, I just want to double check, we're talking about item number 9 now, the review of the inner registrar transfer policy. Did we skip item number 8, the discussion of updates to the consensus policy implementation framework?
Oh, thanks. I didn't notice that because I have problem with the WebEx,
me too.
I think I missed that one.
Okay, looking forward to discussing that one too. I have nothing to add on 9. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kat. Yes, it's basically this. Here we are getting more updates, in particular from GDD staff, and so we can share later. So, and let's go back to the previous agenda items. It's a discussion on the consensus policy implementation framework. This is coming to the council to handle. I'm sorry. Manu, is there any way that we can? I mean, I have problem really to see the. I'm trying to see the item number 8, but when I do, I cannot see it anymore. So, can you please enter or something?
Harvey, can you see it now?
Okay, anyway, so this is... Yeah, thank you. So this agenda item is about the implementation framework. So we had the staff between the policy and GDD supporting on this framework, and this coming for coming to the council for review and to get input. So I think most of us will find out more details during the call, but we also receive it today, and I'm talking here about the counselor. We receive it today, the information about that framework. And so it's basically about the post-implementation. And as I talked previously regarding the IRTP, it's the case of review. So we have, so maybe just a reminder, mostly we spend time working on the policy, I mean, making the recommendation. That's what is managed by the GSO. And then there is the implementation, which is more the work of the staff. But after the implementation, we have to do a review. So we are working now the kind of framework and how to framework to cover that and to create a proper process flow and to check if it's, I'd say, it's aligned with what we are expecting in terms of review. And this is quite critical because we have more and more policy review coming in soon. And so we have to kind of, I think, from our, I think, talking here from NCSG side to follow this more carefully. Because also we have to probably to put more people to participate in the process. Okay. Sorry. I'm not
Rafi,
sure if it's more clear. Yes.
May I comment?
Yeah.
Great. It's Kathy. I haven't seen, of course, the document that's been circulated. So I don't know exactly what's being talked about here, but I did want to flag that implementation has been a real problem lately for the last few years. So you know, the normal flow is that the GNSO, you know, through working groups and other ways, adopts policy, and then it goes into implementation. And we're seeing that the implementation, if you're a technologist, implementation is just implementing the policy. You make it happen technically. But we're actually seeing major changes to policy taking place in the implementation process. This is happening. It's people who are on the proxy privacy implementation review team can talk about it. But I understand that there are problems there. It's happening with rights protection mechanism. We're seeing things that were changed. Items of policy, of consensus policy, actually changed in implementation. So let me flag it that implementation should not be a time to rewrite policy or to take a second bite at the apple. And I don't know how we can put that in stone. I thought it was in stone already, but it's not. And so if we could put that in stone, that would be great. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. So for the document, it was just shared a few hours ago, so I don't think even the counselor had time to review it. But my understanding is really about the review of consensus policy implementation. So we are going to review the implementation. It's not about that implementation phase itself. And yes, there are a problem with implementation because it's first managed by staff. And as you said, and the example that you mentioned, you have a group, they are using the implementation and going to the implementation review team, trying to push for some direction that it's not following the recommendation coming from PDP. And we have also, this is one issue.
Hola.
Okay. So, yeah. And in fact, we have an agenda item about privacy and proxy services on that regard. So So probably in that agenda item, we can talk about the implementation issues. But for this one, it's really about the review of implementation. So it's different, different aspect. It's not the same problem, I think. So I hope it's clear.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so if there is no further question or comment, we can move to the next agenda item. And sorry for the confusion, having a hard time with WebEx myself. So we went through agenda item number 9, and then we come back to 8, but now we're jumping to 10. And this is an update on privacy and proxy services accreditation issues, implementation review team. So this was a topic requested by the liaison because, as it was mentioned, there are several issues on that review team, implementation review team, as there is a disagreement about the implementation plan and also about the process, if they should put it on public comment or not. And what we find out, in fact, the procedure or the process, it doesn't really give that much, let's say, as we are not the sole manager of the implementation, it's kind of somehow, it's not easy for the council to intervene here. Because even if the liaison find an issue, she has to kind of discuss with, let's say, the representative from GDD. And so we are finding some issue with the current procedure we have, and also with this issue in how some group may use the implementation phase to push again for recommend for things that they were not approved on during the PDP. So this agenda item will be one of the opportunity to kind of highlight the issue we have with one of the implementation review team. So okay. Let me see the queue. Any question or comment? Okay, I see none. But so just summary, we have several agenda items. They are not about PDP per se, but a lot about what happened after the PDP, and it's something that I don't think we did good job in within the council to kind of monitor or follow that. And so this is one of the good opportunity for us to discuss more and to see how we can manage this better, in particular when we will have now more and more review of consensus policy. So it's a lot of question, I think, and it's good time to get more updates and briefing, in particular from our liaison or also from the GDT staff on those activities. So. Okay. Any question, comment? I'm sorry, guys. I'm really having a hard time with WebEx, trying to switch between the chat and the queue. Not that easy. Okay. So the next one, item number 11, is an update and joint timeline of the All Rights Protection Mechanism in all GTLD and new GTLD subsequent procedure PDP. And this is kind of action from Puerto Rico meeting. So we have a discussion regarding the timeline and what is supposed to be dependency between the RPM working group and SOPRO working group. And so we had the liaison of the two working group, I think, working with leadership, trying to see to work on some consolidated timeline between the two working groups. So I'm not sure if we will get kind of that that timeline, or it's more about the latest update on the work on that site or front. So it's one of kind of the issue again, from council perspective, managing different PDP, and here, if there is kind of dependency or something, how we can manage and how we can help the two working group to on this front. So, okay, any question or comment on this?
Yeah, Rafiq, it's Kathy.
Yes.
So I have to say, we don't know, as a co-chair of the working group, of one of these two working groups, I have no idea what our liaisons are, what our liaison is going to say on this, because he hasn't talked to us, which is a little odd. So I just wanted to let you know that Paul McGrady has not said, has not communicated, at least with the RPM co-chairs, about what's going on here. The last update I have was the one we gave together with Jeff Newman and Cheryline Denor, the co-chairs of SubPro, in Puerto Rico, where we said that the dependencies aren't actually all that important. It's kind of parallel tracks, and that in all events we're working, in at least in RPM, we're kind of working through very quickly right now the URS review and collecting data for the Trademark Clearinghouse review. And we're going to be a little late, but not that late as things go. And probably, we'll be getting back fairly on time. So I'm not sure what's coming through here, and I wanted to let you know that it will be as much of a surprise to me as it is to you.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. My understanding from what I heard now is that they are still working on that. So I'm not sure we are going to get the consolidated timeline by then. But yeah, so they are working. That's what I get. And this is coming kind of placeholder. It was requested like a few weeks ago anyway. So we will see. And at the end is that the liaison are supposed to work with the working group leadership on any matter. So
I agree. They are supposed to work with the working group co-chairs. So just wanted to let you know that hasn't happened, but also to let you know that there is something else going on in the RPM working group. We had three co-chairs, and J. Scott Evans quit very suddenly. You know, he's been involved for 20 years in all sorts of intellectual property issues. He's one of the founders of the intellectual property constituency. He had switched to Adobe a few years ago, and we knew it was really hard for him to participate because he was coming in very early Pacific time. He was doing a lot of traveling and connecting from all sorts of places. He was working really, really hard to stay as co-chair, but apparently he was asked by his company, and so he resigned, and we weren't sure what would happen next, and there was great kind of consternation in the working group, particularly among those who no longer felt represented among the co-chairs. But Brian Beckham of the World Intellectual Property Organization, he was nominated, he accepted the nomination for co-chair yesterday. So just wanted to let you know there's been lots of support for his nomination. He would come in as the third co-chair, assuming the working group approves. So that may take care of some of the concerns about that balance of leadership that had been expressed. So just wanted to let you know that's the latest update. Brian Beckham, he, of course, can't be approved as co-chair until the council approves him, but he just accepted that nomination yesterday.
Thanks, Kathy. So it's for the co-chair selection, it's really up to the working group. So if the working group members support him, it should be okay. Okay. So I see a comment from Avery about the liaison, and in fact, that it was a topic of discussion during the council strategical meeting in LA, and there was a lot of kind of, I'd say, question about what is expected from the from liaison, and it's basically a counselor that he or she is supposed to liaise with working group or also, but for example, like the GAC or the CCNSO, and so we worked on drafting the description of what is expected and the role of liaison, and in the different the agenda item, you can see we are trying to empower the liaison to be more, proactive here, and to help the leadership and to understand their role. So that's why we are hearing now more, like, for example, the case of the IGO, NGO Creative Rights. We empowered, or we asked the liaison to be the facilitator on that matter, and also we are hearing from the IRT and so on. So we are trying to respond to that, because it seems that it was unclear even to liaison what that role means. So we are trying to improve this. So, but yeah, we acknowledge that there was several issues with regarding the expectation from liaison and how they can help and support leadership of working.
But let me just question that goal of helping and supporting the leadership may not be their goal. And I have great respect for Paul McGrady, but he's a very active member of the working group on behalf of his clients. So we've got, and I didn't see what Avery's question was, but I have to say I don't understand the role of the liaison. But as we're defining it, let's be careful. And let's, you know, if you guys could help as counselors and watch this. Paul McGrady, for example, was the one who nominated Brian Beckham as co-chair. So he is very, very, very active in the issues of the working group. So I'm wondering, are we expecting people to step back from their role as advocate, especially attorneys who have, you know, that zealous advocacy requirement under the rules of being an attorney for a client? Are we expecting them to step back and be much more neutral as liaison? You know, these are questions, you know, lots of people have in lots of roles, but I'm not sure it's quite defined as liaison yet. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. I will try to find out the document we have about the role of liaison, and point taken regarding, I mean, how liaison, what is it, can be a liaison and also an active member or not. I think that was discussed. So I understand the concerns, and I think that was that this kind of issue will arise. So for that case, I cannot speak really about this, but I hear your concern is something maybe we can follow up later on. But I will try to find the description we get and share with you. So.
Terrific. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So any other question or comment on this item? Okay, so I think that was the last agenda item. What was left is any other business and just an update on scheduling for ICANN 62. So basically, the GNSO Council leadership, we worked with the staff to prepare the block schedule for GNSO, and we focus at first on the how to allocate a slot to PDP working group, taking in consideration their needs and their requests. So we had, I think, two conference calls with the leadership of the PDP working groups, and the last one was just a few hours ago. And we have now kind of agreement around the PDP slot. We are still working on the cross-community session. So there were, the proposal were submitted, but now it's, in the planning team formed by the representative of different SO and ACE, stakeholder group, constituency, and so on. Then we have to decide about the final list of cross-community and high-interest topic session. After getting that, we will start getting the meeting requests from stakeholder group and constituency for their own meetings. And Also, we have to work with other SO and ACs, since many of them, they have interest on the PDP session. So we try kind of, you know, there are several parts that have to be fixed and decided. And so we are the GNSO Council leadership working on that. And just in that, under that agenda item, we will give some updates about the progress. But all this is still, let's say, under construction for now. Okay. Any question or comment on this? Okay, I think no. So we can move back to our agenda. So, Mariam, can you move to the NCAG main agenda, please?
Sure.
Okay, so, yeah, thanks. So usually we here in the policy discussion, we try to get some update from working groups, but also about public comments. But I think just maybe since we have less than 1 hour left, and as Stephanie asked several times, that we can discuss accreditation model. So we have one agenda item called Who is in GDPR Compliance Process, and that cover the accreditation model, but also all the GDPR discussion we have. So, I'll say, I'm thinking if we can switch here, so we can discuss first about all GDPR matters to have a good chunk of time, and then we can move later to more policy updates. So, okay. Let's see if there is support for this. Okay, I don't see any problem or objection. So let's do with that. And so, okay. So Stephanie, as you kind of pushed for this and requested that we discuss more about the accreditation model, I guess for the context is that there is a conf call organized by business constituency and intellectual property constituency that kind of, how to describe it, an ad hoc group working on accreditation model. And so they have called, I think, a few hours, and they now they have like their own mailing list hosted by ACA and so on. So I guess that's the context. Okay. So probably you can give more update on that, or what's the plan? Because I don't think many of us are on that list, which is also not not public. Okay. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead. Stephanie, can you mute yourself? Marin, please mute Stephanie so she can speak.
Hello, Stephanie Perrin speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, yeah.
Great. Thanks, Fik. With respect to that business community initiated ad hoc group, according to Mary Wong, those records of the call, which ICANN is supporting, are now public. So you can actually check back. Just a note. I don't know what's on the agenda for the call today. I do know that I had time to look over Mike Pelage's proposal, and I have, in fact, been talking to Pelage lately. His proposal, I think, is very sound. In fact, it's part of what I am going to be introducing in the standards development process for accreditation. In case folks on the call don't know, through my university, the University of Toronto, we put in for a bid to do standards development for the accreditation of third parties accessing personal information. So this would be not just for WHOIS, although starting with WHOIS, but it's a known issue with respect to third parties getting access to telco data, ISP data, you know, across the board. So, and the Article 29 Working Party has published preliminary advice, without the appendix, mind you, on what they expect and their involvement that they expect on these accreditation processes. It's part of the new GDPR that they be consulted and that their views be taken into account in accreditation and certification models. So that covers a wide gamut of things. It would cover, for instance, better business community websites, you know, seals on websites, that kind of stuff. But it would certainly cover this. So we just signed a contract a week ago for that work, and we'll be talking about it more. I'm working on the documents right now, but part of like Pelage's proposal fills in a niche. He is proposing that people be when they're accredited, that they put a bond up, which I agree with because they got no skin in the game. They need to have some financial incentive to comply. And what was the other piece in his proposal that was good? Independent resolution of complaints. And again, you have a right of appeal when somebody accesses your personal information if they don't treat it properly, if they, for instance, access it and go out and publish it in a product that they sell to criminal gangs. And yes, you have the right to complain to data commissioners, but that's a clumsy mechanism. We also want the ability to go faster to independent resolution. I think that would work better, although I'd love some feedback if people don't think that that will work. Tell me about it. For those of us who live in jurisdictions where there is data protection, going to an independent dispute resolution forum is not going to annul your rights under the law, particularly not in Europe where there's constitutional right. So I think it's an okay idea, and it would help get that installed. I think all of us are worried about what ICANN is going to instantiate in this interim period because it'll last forever, and there's no time to fix everything given the rush we're in. So I view Pelage's proposal as helpful. In terms of, shall I just keep running on talking, Feek? Let me know here.
Okay. Thanks, Tiffany. I think you gave some, you talked about several points, like about the certification project that you are working on and so on. But so this is a kind of issue I have, and I, to be honest, I couldn't make my mind here. Is that now we have this kind of alternative accreditation model discussed by BC and IPC, and they are having call and trying to bring more people to the mailing list to discuss. But what's our kind of rules of engagement here? Should we really get involved fully? Or what we should do? I don't think we have kind of, let's say, strategy or agreed action here. I know that some of us are on that list, but not participating. It's mostly as observer. And so I think just maybe to kind of agree how we should proceed. Farzan is not with us in the call, but it's something we need to kind of maybe to discuss more and to think how we should do that.
Well, if I could carry on, just let me give you the update first, because I think that will help illuminate how I feel about this interim process. So As you know, I jumped and went to the Berlin group in Budapest as soon as I knew I had the time, and I got this research grant tidied away. NCUC's has agreed to cover it for me. Thank you very much, because I was covered under ICANN for the Who Is trip, and I made it work for me, but it was very last minute, this thing. So I went to the Berlin group meeting in Budapest, and I'm kind of limited in what I can say about what goes on in those things, because it's more or less Chatham House rules there. Certainly it gave me an opportunity to brief the Budapest or the Berlin group on what was going on at ICANN. And they are well aware that an interim model is finally being worked on, but that it probably won't meet their requirements. And they have not released the final, the Article 29 group, rather, because the Berlin group is bigger than the Article 29 group, have not released their final requirements for accreditation. That is going to come soon, I believe. They did a consultation on it, but as you know, there is a lot of work going on. So I think that from my perspective, we should have a watching brief on this interim model. The contracted parties swear that they are not participating because they haven't got time. So they are kind of holding their ground that, hey, you can work on all you like, but we're shutting down Who Is. So we'll see what happens. It looks like everybody is going to be suing everybody. Certain of the business community have probably been making some pretty loud threats about how they're going to sue the registrars for cutting off access to information. And they can do that whether they've got a decent lawsuit or not, you know, which makes it all the more important that the Article 29 group doesn't give ICANN cover. Because if they do, then if they say, oh, you don't need to do this, then immediately all those guys are going to be sued and it won't be good. So I think the whole game is I would say, not what I'd call cricket. And I hope non-English speakers understand what I mean by that. I don't think it's fair what they're doing. Anyway, I'm going to stay on that list and watch. I'm glad that at least it's archived now and you can get the transcript. I am going to talk about my research grant if they give me a minute, but I'm sure as hell not throwing them something so that they can tear it to bits. Because I think that's what we've seen traffic that says, do I have to go the full ISO model or can we get away with this? I forget who said that. I think it was Jonathan Matkowski. And even the APWG does not want to go ISO model. I've been sharing my research proposal with the APWG leaders. And while they understand that they need something like this, they're not quite ready to wrap their minds around it. And if they could get away with something less, they'd certainly do it. So that's my sort of summary of that. The Berlin group, actually, I didn't realize they had my proposal on the agenda for it. So I did get a chance to talk about it, and I promised them a more fulsome explanation of how it would work with all the different pieces, such as bonding, such as dispute resolution mechanisms, such as the role for the Article 29 group, such as the kinds of other standards that would be cross-referenced. I have a PhD student that I get to hire in the fall to do a full literature review, which, given the standards area is kind of opaque, that's going to take a while. But in the meantime, I'm coming up with documents that will help us flesh this out. And in terms of what's going on at ICANN, I think it will demonstrate that ICANN is, yet again, not really meeting what they should be at in terms of industry expectations at this point in time. So, how's that for now? And then if there's still time, I can brief you on what's going on with the Who Is review team, which progress has been, just in a nutshell, progress has been very slow. We've barely been able to get quorum at meetings. We've divided into sub-working groups. And I just got asked to join the law enforcement one, which is fun because I know something about that. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. Okay, so I think we can keep monitoring and watching that list. It's quite interesting, in particular to see what some groups are submitting as comment, like the FIRST, which is one of the security groups, and so on. So to understand their perspective regarding the accreditation. See. And sorry, just finish. I will then give you the floor, Kathy. So also, and understand from you, Stephanie, that the working group 29 is working on kind of the accreditation model in general. No, I'm not talking about who is here, but that's something that can impact the whole discussion later on.
Absolutely, Feek. There are provisions in the GDPR. I can't tell you which numbers they are off the top of my head. For accreditation and certification models. And in fact, the Schleswig-Holstein people are certifying certain procedures right now. I'm not sure which one. I'm going to be talking to them shortly. I apologize for my phone. It always happens this way. So they issued a consultation document in February. And that consultation document, I gather they got comments, and they are digesting them, and then they release the document, and the appendix is missing. So once they get that finalized, there will be an appendix with guidance on how to engage them. I think actually the call for comments went out earlier in February. It was the summary document that went out in February. Sooner or later, that'll stop. Does that answer your question?
Thanks, Stephanie. That's clear. And sorry, I think Kathy wanted to intervene and to comment. Kathy, can you speak up now?
Sure, just a comment. Thanks, Rafiq. First, Stephanie, thank you for being in Europe for the Article 29 Working Party meeting. I think that was tremendous that you could be there in person and talking with them about what's going on at ICANN. I wanted to comment, Rafiq, on what you were asking about with this IPCBC accreditation group that's meeting. It meets again today at 11 o'clock Eastern time for about 2 hours. It does appear to be being run by the intellectual property constituency. Fabricio and Brian Winterfeld seem to be running it. Brian, of course, is the current chair of the intellectual property constituency, as well as running his own intellectual property law firm. And so it looks like we've been participating as individuals, not as representatives of the non-commercial stakeholder group. We did write comments, non-commercial stakeholder group comments, critiquing the statement of purposes that the IPC and BC gave us or shared with the community. We kind of tore it apart because they've gone the traditional route of taking all the uses of personal data and making them into all the purposes of personal data, and that's not kosher under the rules. You can't do that, and so we pointed that out. Whether they'll pay any attention is unclear. I can tell you in the last meeting, Stephanie, Michael, and I tried to raise points. I was literally reading straight from the Hamilton memos, and we were told they were wrong and that ICANN should just disregard the advice of outside counsel. We were pointing out that kind of unlimited access to data, even by accredited parties, is completely inconsistent with the rules, unless it's very, very clearly related to the mission. So registries and registrars using the database in an unlimited way to facilitate the registration, transfer, and deletion of domain names. That's one thing. But the idea of unlimited access by intellectual property, even law enforcement, is not consistent under European law. And so they rejected that out of hand. So I'm not sure what their process is for handling community input, except they seem to accept anything they like and reject anything they don't. So I just thought I'd share that. The other thing is that the eco model if you guys remember the ECO model created by the registries and registrars under Thomas Rickett. Parts of it still seem to be around, and things I think we should support include not differentiating between individuals and legal entities, in part because that protects human rights groups. Many human rights groups are legal entities, and so the idea that they would have no protection, a battered women's shelter, a mosque or synagogue, that they would have to publish all this information just because they're a legal entity and they have to publish their address isn't consistent. So supporting the registries and registrars on not differentiating legal entities and individuals, they're doing it for business reasons. It's really hard to do. And also they're being challenged, registries and registrars are being challenged by the GAC on this idea of publishing a registrant's email address. And we've heard pretty clearly from the Article 29 Working Party that should not be published. GAC is pushing back. I think we should support them on this concept of the anonymized personal email, that you can reach the registrant without knowing who they are and without having their email address. There are web forms, there are one-way email addresses that can certainly reach the registrant and let them know you're trying to tell them something, you're trying to buy their domain name, you're trying to let them know you think there's a legal problem, but you can do that without revealing their identity. So supporting the registries and registrars, they seem to be sticking to their guns on that, and I'd like to see us supporting them. But again, just wanted to let you know, I don't understand how this accreditation process is working and who's making the decisions, but we submitted our comments, our NCSG comments, we submitted directly to the GDPR process of ICANN.org. Thanks. Thanks, Rafiq, and thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks, Kathy. Okay, I see. So about supporting the ECO model, so it's maybe to come back again because, you know, I mean, the whole folks and I mean, people are more reacting to the BCIPC model, but yeah, I think we should bring that back. Okay, any comment or question? I'm not sure if people having problem in WebEx to put themselves in the queue or not. And so if you want to speak, or please just click on that small hand near to your name or just put a comment in the chat. So okay. No further comment or question? Okay, Stephen, you want to add something that before we move on to the next item?
Yes, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I would like to say a word or two more about the WHOIS review team. Folks may be aware that there was a discussion in San Juan about the fact that for some reason, with the calendar the way it is, we're doing 9 reviews this year, or we are obliged to do 9 reviews, and one of the reviews that is already late was the WHOIS review. Now, ostensibly, it is supposed to be measuring how much the WHOIS review team recommendations were implemented, and that's easy enough because there weren't any recommendations about privacy in there except for the privacy proxy services, a group that I don't happen to be on. Well, you know, you can't possibly be on all these subgroups and working away. But the fact of the matter is, everything WHOIS is going to be bouleversé, as they say in French, shortly, because the question of whether the privacy proxy system is going to continue to be in place and working is up in the air. There's a problem with reveal. There's a problem with transfer. There's a problem with the thick WHOIS in terms of allowing the big registries, .com, .net, and all that, to move to VeriSign, given that there's a lawsuit about whether the United States is adequate or not anymore. That's kind of up in the air. And of course, we know what kind of a mess we are in terms of normal data protection, WHOIS, and the conflicts with law. So it's a bit of a joke to be measuring how well we've delivered on the accuracy requirements or how well we've delivered on various other things that were in the WHOIS 1 report. So it's something that I think we ought to look at, but I do understand the concerns. The Articles of Commitment were grandfathered straight over without changes in terms of ICANN reviews. I'm coming from a government background. This review, it's neither a program review nor is it an audit. It's a very clear thing that we're doing, and I think it needs work and it needs to be upgraded to the point where a review mechanism is actually a good policy and program review mechanism instead of something that the Commerce Department wanted ICANN to do. So, but therein lies risk, because of course it could go the wrong way, and God knows we never have enough people on these committees to swing things our way, but now might be a good time, because at least the registrars, the contracted parties, are having some concerns about some of these procedures. Anyway, I'm going to send out a short 2-page report on how we're doing on this. I'm deeply concerned that there are 3 GAC people on the WHO is review and 3 ALAC people, and we have 4 GNSO people, but they're mostly business. There's me and Volker. Volker's representing the contracted parties, and I'm, of course, representing NCSG, but we're so outnumbered. And Volker wasn't there for this particular meeting because he was moving house, you know, bad timing. So it's quite lopsided. Thanks. I think that's all I've got to say on that. And I'll send something out to the NCSG list shortly.
Okay. Thanks, Tiffany, for the comment. Just I want to say something regarding. I mean, this is kind of becoming a mantra about that we have 9 reviews at the same time. We need to be careful about that, because there is a specific review and organizational structural review. They are not the same, and we have already several reviews that's ongoing or they are going to finish, like the CCT, CCR, SSR started. You have now the WHO is, and what the rest is the ATRT. That's for the specific review. For the rest, like the review of the NOMCOM or the CCNSO and so on, that they concern a part of the community. So we have to be careful, because we are hearing that a lot. This is kind of narrative, but just ask for to be cautious. We should not repeat like that. It's different, because it's not putting the same workload of the burden as we may think. We are not, like, for example, following the SAC review and so on, because it doesn't concern us directly. But just I want to add this kind of matter of caution. And I see that Avery is in the queue, and probably she wants to add more here. Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Avery speaking. I think 2 things I wanted to say. One is you're going to be getting yet another community comment shortly on what to do about the reviews, and specifically asking about ATRT, and I think about WHO is as well. So then there'll be a bunch of options in that. So the ICANN organization has basically decided to get a survey because of the report that Joran has gotten about people just being tired of reviews. And then that will come back. Now, speaking, that will come back to the board, and I'm not sure what will happen to it next. Certain decisions will be made. And if this, the whole thing discusses, you know, to do this, we got to change bylaws. To do that, we don't. So which of these options do people like best? Speaking from that's just passing a message. Speaking, sort of taking off that semi-boardish hat. Personally, I'm very grateful to Rafiq for differentiating between the specific reviews and the organizational reviews. Personally, I find that these reviews, though, as Stephanie says, some of them do need to be rethought out, are really a critical piece of our bottom-up oversight of the organization. And part of the story that we've used to say this is why we don't need a superseding oversight externally because we have this mechanism. So I think it's really important that we live up to these bylaws as much as possible. I kind of hate changing bylaws before we've even gone through them once. I think on WHOIS we're going through it. The WHOIS one, I sort of wonder what was basically said by Kathy, I believe it was, that, you know, this is where we are, this is the case, it doesn't make sense to evaluate, would make an excellent report for the WHOIS to come out with and say, this is where we're at, we've done the review, this is what we've decided, and, you know, we recommend, you know, next review and this, we recommend changing this kind of review once we know, we recommend anything. On the ATRT, one of the things that we need to remember is that part of its task is the one of looking at the other specific reviews and saying, do we need to change the schedule these are done on? Are they working out right? Are they being, you know, useful and to the community and such? Are we overworked? So that is actually an ATRT you know, need, and speaking personally, I'm pushing quite hard for actually doing that one, because it doesn't, after all, take that many people. It is the sort of linchpin of this whole bottom-up oversight of over ICANN, this one dealing with accountability and transparency. I think that we see that ATRT 1 and, I believe, 2 have had positive effects. And I guess the last thing I'm pushing in this we must do ATRT thought that I've been arguing both within the board and anywhere else that people will listen to me is that we're just about to go into the implementation of WS2. Some of them say, well, you know, let's not do another ATRT until after we've seen what WS2 changes, but that, you know, is at least a year or two for implementation, and of course you don't see the effects for several years. Whereas I think taking ATRT 3, having it look at ATRT 2, what did it achieve, how did its recommendations get implemented, and basically define the base level that we're at now before WS2, so that then if we want to talk about things like metrics in the future, looking at how things changed over time, we know what's pre-WS2 and not. So, you know, as I said, that was completely said with personal hat and the hat of someone that sees this ditch as a very inviting one to die in. So, you know, I just wanted to give you that grain of salt to go with what I said. But there will be a community comment on all of this. Thanks.
Okay, so thanks, Avery, for those details. I think it's very important. I'm kind of concerned about this because, first, it seems that now it's the ICANN organization will tell the community what should do here. So we are kind of reversing the role. And I think I said, like, kind of the mantra and it seemed the focus about the budget. And I think somehow it's misleading about when we talk about the community burden, because it's few people who are participating in those review teams, and they are not necessarily the same. I think if we do the comparison, we find that there is few overlap. So we kind of need to be careful. It seems we are pushing here to make those changes, but what I only advise, and I think from NCA standpoint, since we care about the accountability and so on, we have to be careful and not just go in the direction that it's kind of we are pushed towards. So, and to kind of maybe differentiate between the different reviews and what are expected from. So let's see what will be suggested in community feedback, and we should respond and discuss about this. So, okay, thanks again, Avery. Okay, any question or comment here? I don't see any. So we have, 15 minutes left, and I think it will be just enough time for some updates from working group and review teams and so on. So we will switch back to the agenda item about policy discussion. And the first is regarding the public comment. So we submitted lately two public comments, one on the uniform screening for board member and also for the plan for the name collusion plan. So we submitted that comment lately, and we still have the I can reserve fund comment that should be submitted tomorrow. That went through the consultation with the membership, and the comments were resolved, and it's now with the NCSG Policy Committee for endorsement. So that should be done. We also have the proposed revisions to bylaw section 11. We got the draft, I think it was a few days ago, last Saturday. And so this is for membership consultation, so please review it and add your comment. It's quite simple and straightforward draft since we are supporting the changes in the bylaw. Other than that, we still have to work on the draft final report to NOMCOM to review, and the CCWG accountability workstream to final report. I think Farzana and Tatiana voluntarily to work on that, and hopefully we'll get the draft soon so we can review them. The last open public comment is the initial report on the review of the Customer Standing Committee Charter, and I think Farrell volunteered as a pen holder with other members to work on that. So we are covered in terms of public comment. We have volunteers, but if someone wants to jump in and join the team of pen holders, so please feel free to reach me off list, and I will put you in contact. So we are trying now to have small teams for each public comment to work as a group and draft, because it seems more, I'd say, a better way to share the burden, and also a good way for a newcomer or beginners in public comment to work together and to get more confidence on drafting NCSG response. So if you want to volunteer, please feel free to reach me. Okay, any comment or a question on this? Okay, I see none. So let's go to the policy topics and getting update from working groups, review teams, and so on. So anyone want to give some briefing or update or share some information or request for help or action?
Hi, Rafik. Can you hear me? Afton.
Yes, Afton. Can hear you.
Yes, thank you very much. This is Afton Tongali. I would like to share some updates from the cross-community working group on auction proceeds. I have like a few items that I would like to bring to our membership and as updates. So just as updates, the first one will be that members of that cross-community working group are still fixing the preamble after having received some questions and comments from the board that might help redirect the way the preamble is written. So we also need to clarify some aspects of it. But the general idea for projects that should be funded by the auction proceeds are those which are in service with ICANN's mission. So this was agreed upon as some members were arguing that the preamble needs to be clear on the types of projects that the Action for Speed funds should be funding. So those projects that fall within ICANN's mirror mandate or mission. So since it's taking very long, the discussion around the preamble, the group will no longer discuss it, but they've called for a smaller group to work on fixing it, and then this will be shared with the whole group. So second will be that the working group is also still discussing a list of examples. So members developed some examples of type of projects that this fund should fund, and members are still yet to come to an agreement about which projects fall within ICANN's mandate and those which doesn't. So again, a small group of volunteers will be working with the staff to produce a version that will be shared with the whole group. So third, the working group has been in the past meeting with having conversations with different experts from various organizations as a way to try to understand and answer questions that members develop that needed some external expert in order to provide clarification. And so there was a need to have an exchange with someone from like ICANN, and Xavier and Sam came to discuss with the members. So there was also the need to discuss with members or a member and expert from a smaller organization. And so this has been done with a nominate in the past meeting. Again, there was a need to have a conversation with someone who works from an advisor to any charitable organization, and this has been done. And so lastly, we had an exchange with someone from a large organization, and this was a guy from the European Investment Bank in the recent past meeting. So finally, the working group has also been looking into whether these auction funds should be managed by ICANN or by any separate entity. And so another idea that was expressed was that ICANN may or should probably collaborate with another entity to help manage the funds. And so the conversation that happened recently with the experts from the European Investment Bank helped us understand the challenges that ICANN will be expecting if it's decided to manage the funds with a second entity. And that guy from that bank said that their bank has managed to collaborate with the European Commission. So if ICANN has, if we, the group has to decide that ICANN will have to work with any separate entity, this probably can be an example to look into. And so this will be all I have for today, and inviting members for the next meeting of the cross-community working group on auction proceeds that will be happening on Thursday, so this week at 2 p.m. UTC. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Arthur, for those details and updates from the cross-community working group and auction proceeds. Just a helpful question. I know that working group will have a session in Panama meeting, but what is the kind of status or the progress? By when the working group is going to deliver its initial report? I'm sorry if I missed that, but just to be sure about the timeline here, and so we can plan from our site for when the public comment is open, so we can respond to that initial report. So, do you have any details?
Arsene here, Rafika. I'm not sure I have any answer to your question, but if anyone else, like Stephanie or anyone else who's following, probably will be able to provide a clarification on the timeline.
Thanks, Arsene. Okay. Any comment or question on this? Okay, seems nobody is asking about the hundreds of millions of dollars in ICANN, that's how it will be spent, but okay. Thanks again, Alison. Okay, let's see if there is another update on from any working group or review team or and so on. Anyone want to share some information or say anything they want to share from working group with us in the call?
Rafiq, this is Kathy.
Yes, Kathy? Yep.
So in terms of the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group, I think we've had most of the key updates along the conversation of the last 2 hours. But just to summarize, that there was a resignation of one of the three co-chairs, J. Scott Evans, is no longer able to participate for business reasons, he said, that his company had asked him not to, and pulled him back because of new business assignments, but that Brian Beckham of the World Intellectual Property Organization has now been nominated as the third co-chair, which is really interesting because he's an observer of the GAC, so it will be interesting to see that process, but there's a lot of support so far, and that we're continuing our review of the Uniform Rapid Suspension. So if anyone has any comments on this that they want to share with me privately or with the working group publicly, we're all ears. This is a really important time. We're in data gathering on the Uniform Rapid Suspension and is it fit for purpose. And so far, that's going really well. Our next meeting is tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. if anyone wants to join us as a member. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. I see, let me check where the queue. Any comment or question? Okay, I see that Colin wants to give an update. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Colin Curry for the record. I was just jumping in. This is a little update about a working party and not a working group, and that was the cross-community working party on ICANN and human rights. So over the past month, we have resuscitated our little dormant newsletter or our dormant mailing list with a flurry of activity, and we've got a couple ongoing projects related to attempting to start developing models or potential resources for how ICANN's human rights bylaw can be operationalized in different SOs and ACs. So if anybody's particularly interested in getting involved on that work, then they can find more information on our website, which is ICANNHumanRights.net, or on the mailing list. Thanks.
Thanks, Colin. If you want, you can type the domain name. Maybe it's more easier for people just to avoid any misspelling. But any question or comment for Colin? I don't see any. I know that we have 4 minutes left and everyone kind of maybe tired of 2 hours call and start to leave. So, I mean, asking again if there is any update or something that you want to share from working group, review teams, and so on. Okay. So, I guess maybe that's it for today. So, I know that maybe the agenda from the council was a little bit confusing, but it's important to understand that as the council is managing the PDP, I mean the policy process, it's important to keep track of the progress and the different phases. I mean the PDP is the implementation, and from now on also the review of the implementation. We'll try to keep giving updates from the discussion and share them in the list, hopefully also giving more details and background material. I mean, it's good to check the agenda. There are several links and description about the background of why we are discussing that topic in the call. So we will follow up with more details and information. Okay, is there any other business or question or comment? It's the time to do so. Otherwise, I will adjourn the call for today, so please do so. Okay, I see no nobody in the queue, and I guess that's it for today. Thanks, everyone, and see you soon. Bye-bye. Let's adjourn the call for today.
Thanks, Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the meeting. Wendy, you may stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you so much for your time today. Goodbye, everyone.